Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This podcast will definitely contain naughty words and spoilers.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for hanging out on... Hang on. Hanging out. Hanging on for our podcast today.
Hanging in there.
That's the one. Like a little cat hanging onto a branch. Have you not seen that poster?
Yeah.
Hanging there.
That poster's older than us, I think.
Probably. There's quite a lot that's older than us now.
Quite a lot that's younger than us now, I think.
Oh,
you
that's
mean.
What I meant, yeah. It's been a long week so far, isn't it? Yeah. Cursed shifts. Anyways, this podcast is on Goodfellas.
Goodfellas. Great film. Classic.
Released in 1991.
Is it really? I thought it was in the 80s.
No, 91. Sometimes the stuff in the 90s looks like it's from the 80s because I don't think it was much of a crossover.
That and we're old.
Yeah. There is that too. So, I'm just going to jump straight in for a little synopsis because you're looking at me exhausted already.
I know. This could be a long one as well. It's a long film.
It was a long film.
A lot happens, though.
It does, yeah. I'm happy I chose this one over Godfather. Could you imagine trying to do The Godfather in the current situation we're in?
I know.
God, that'd be hard work.
This DVD is so old, by the way, that you have to turn the DVD over halfway through the film to watch the rest of the film.
Because it's not like the Lord of the Rings special edition one where you have to stop halfway through and turn it over because it's just long.
Yeah, no, it is exactly like that because
it's just old.
In the Lord of the Rings ones, you have to take a disc out and put a new disc in. This one, you actually have to flip the disc over.
That's what you call retro. So, Ray Liotta. I got it right, didn't I?
You did.
Good. Stars as a young man rising through the ranks of a mob. Mob. Oh, yeah, of a mob in Martin Scorsese's gangster drama, which stars Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci.
Yep.
Yes!
You've been practicing.
So there's the film starts out with the sound of traffic and just names going across the screen, and it says it's based on a true story.
It is,
which blew my actual mind.
Oh my god! Well, obviously you don't know how true all of it actually is. Like Joe Pesci's character is actually kind of based on a couple of people, I think.
Oh, okay. Sometimes they do that, though, don't they?
Like... Yeah, but his main thing is. The main story of him is quite true, but I think there's a couple of bits that were other people that they've pushed onto his character as well.
I see, just to make him even more interesting.
But yeah, they changed a few of the names, but
otherwise,
Robert De Niro's character and the main mob boss character are based on real people.
So there's a car on the road, and it's nighttime, and it's New York 1970, and there's three men sat in the car, and the driver says, "Oh, I think I hit something, because you hear like a bump."
Yep.
And he's like, "Oh, what's that? Like, you know, what is it?" So no, they pull over. Oh, It's a good start to the film, actually. It's very exciting. And there's banging in the boot. I was like, oh, shit.
Ruh-roh.
Here we go. So they open the boot and they're like, oh, he's still alive. So, like, I think it's Robert De Niro just goes mental stabbing him in the boot.
No, Joe Pesci is.
Oh, is it Joe Pesci?
Stabbing away. Yeah, it gets very stabby.
Oh, so stabby.
Very, like, stabs him loads of times. And
he
then
does.
Robert De Niro
goes up and shoots him.
But not just, like, shoots him lots of times yeah. as well.
I think he's dead.
Yeah.
I think. And that's a lot of, like, cleaning to do in your car now.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's not just guts, it's brains. It's like just the whole,
yeah.
So much grim. So then you've got, so the main guy, oh, God, I can't remember what his name is now. I think we'll get to it. We don't know it at the moment, do we?
His character's name?
Yeah.
No, you don't know it yet. It's Henry, though.
It's Henry, that's it. So it's like a close-up of his face looking, like, absolutely mortified.
Yeah, he's like, ugh.
Oh, God. And then it goes into, like, his little voiceover, like, his narrating it. He's like, I always wanted to be a gangster. I'm like, okay. You've just wanted to do that all your life, and you're watching him stab someone, and you're like, maybe this is a bad career choice.
I'm not so sure if it's the fact that they're actually killing him or who it is that they're killing that is
yeah.
thing, which again we get to because we work the film works back to Good. This point
a little bit like what was that film we watched that goes backwards Deja Vu I can't remember now anyways
Memento I think you're talking about
that's the one Memento that was a really good film so yeah so he always wanted to be a gangster and then there's some like good music and some more credits and it's a close up on some eyes. And he said, like, being a gangster is better than being a president in his eyes. And it's, like, 1955.
Yeah.
And he said that being it's like being somebody in a neighbourhood of nobodies. So, basically, he's, like, you're seeing them sort of running their businesses and he sees them as, like, being somebodies. And I think, like, his dad is... I think get to his parents' bit in a minute, actually. But they talk about Tony Cesserole. Love that name.
Casserole.
Cesserole.
Cesserole. Not roll.
Oh. Says what?
Cesserole, the name
Cesserole.
Is.
Oh, I thought it was Cesserole. Is that like Cesserole?
It's not Tony either. I think he's talking about Tootie.
Oh, okay.
And Paulie.
Yeah, I've not got to Paulie yet. Yeah, Paulie's coming up.
Tootie, not Tony.
Okay, all right.
I'm just telling you.
Well, they also say, like, Cesserole in Chicago when they're singing the song. So I thought, oh, awesome. It's like a tie to that. Anyways, he runs a pizzeria and a taxi place. And Paulie, he said he moves slow, but he doesn't move for anyone.
Yeah, Paulie's cool. The boss.
I do like Paulie.
What do they call it? He calls it the cab stand, don't he?
Yeah.
But then when you see it later on, it's like, yeah, pizzeria and then...
He has both. He's got a taxi and a pizzeria. So, oh yeah, it doesn't. Just said basically, his parents love his job. So his dad, I can't really say his dad does now. But anyways, yeah, like I said, basically, he's like an Irish family or something.
Yes, his dad's Irish and his mother's Italian.
Italian, but she's from Sicily. I was like, hey, yes, yeah, Sicilian.
And yeah, he basically says about his dad's pissed off because he works like shit hours for shit money all yeah. the time.
And he's always angry.
Yeah.
So he really liked that their parents said he had a part-time job, so basically he starts working over at the taxi.
Yeah, he gets a job at the cab stand. His dad's happy because he went out and got a job all on his own. Yeah. And his mum's happy because the Ciceros are from the same part of Sicily
that
she is.
So that's cool. And he ends up, like, parking Cadillacs, and he's just, like, literally living the dream, like, driving all
like
his cars around.
Like, teenage girls staring at him as he parks the cars.
He's like, yeah, all the pussy. Pussy Patrol.
Oh, God.
So he said he'd like to be like a part of something, and he liked learning about all the money and stuff. And then basically his dad gets really pissed off of him because he's getting all this money and he's not going to school.
Yeah, he gets a letter from the school because he starts asking him. He's like, oh, how was school today and all that? And he's lying. He's like, got a letter today saying you haven't been there in months. And then he beats him with a belt. And he says on the voiceover, doesn't he, like, everyone takes a beating sometimes. It's all right.
Yeah. So they basically then he tells his bosses, who then grab the poor mailman.
Yeah, he tells them he can't do what they want him to do now. He needs to go to school.
Yeah.
So they go in, they take the postman, shove his head in the oven.
Yep.
And tell him not to deliver any more letters from the school to that house. And then he says on the voiceover, my mother had to go to the post office and complain because they just stopped delivering all the letters.
Which I don't blame them.
Yeah, fair one. Oh, fuck, I wouldn't either.
So then there's like, he goes on to say that Paulie doesn't like phones, so he has like guys to take care of his phone calls. They're just running out of places taking phone calls, don't they?
Yeah, literally use pay phones, take a phone call for him, run to his house or in whatever, whatever, tell him. The bit they show is really weird because they run and tell him, oh, so-and-so called, do you want me to call him back? And Paulie's like, oh, yeah, make the call. So there's no, they don't tell him what he said. He just said, this person called, shall I call them back? Yeah. And they run over to a payphone in the rain and phone him back. You're like,
what the hell?
Doesn't even know need to know why he phoned. He's just like, yeah, phone him back.
Just do it. So basically, they're talking, he then says it's all about only the top guys can speak with Paulie.
Yep.
So there's no low-down people. There's a bit of a hierarchy they establish here.
Yeah, like he gets like all of his messages second-hand.
Yeah.
Like someone tells someone who can then go and tell him and he won't...
listen to anyone else.
And it's basically so he's not seen talking to... he can't get caught out talking to people he shouldn't be speaking to.
So it's basically it's like the same as the old country, but in the States. This is like going back to it's like Sicily... but in America, which is quite cool.
Yeah, like the hierarchy.
Yeah.
Which, if we ever watch The Godfather, it's explained a bit more in there how the hierarchy system works.
You kind of got a bit of a gist of it.
You do a little bit later on, yeah.
Yeah, like you're starting to get told quite a bit about how it works. And so basically it's protection for wise guys.
Yeah, we called ourselves wise guys.
Which I thought was pretty cool. Then they send him off smashing some cars. And then I think he sets one on fire.
Petrol bombs loads of cars, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a bit of an explosion. And then he comes home in a suit. I love this bit so much. His mum's like, my God, you got like a gangster.
You kind of half expect him to go, yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
He's got the shiny black shoes and the massive, the slightly too big, freshly pressed suit on.
Yeah. So then we move on to, I think I've written down, someone shot and then they
There's a guy running down the street like bleeding, he's been shot and...
Oh my gosh, yeah.
He walks up to the cab stand Henry helps him, he like covers him up with aprons and stuff.
And he goes, oh, you wasted 8 aprons on that guy, you need to top this kid up.
Here, like, get rid of it. And on the voiceover he's like, I felt sorry for the guy, but Twitty was right, like, they're running a criminal enterprise, they don't need people who've been shot there.
Yeah, it's just like, well, you wasted 8 aprons on that guy, we need to toughen this kid up. It's really funny. Then they're in a club, there's like a music and they're in this like club scene, like playing cards and stuff, like a bar in it.
Yeah, like a
social,
yeah, a bit like their own sort of social club. They got like gambling tables up,
yeah,
and drinks are flowing and
it's the music I love, like that kind of singing. Do like the male singers?
Like big band sort of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, really, really cool. I think they start talking about this was before Joe made war.
Like Apache Joe or something. And then it started a turf war. And
so at this point, they go around and they tell you like everybody's names, which are
is when they first meet. This is before they tell you everybody's names because this is when he's still a kid and this is where he meets Robert De Niro.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Canaway.
Jimmy the Gent Conway, his name is.
Oh. So he's, like, famous for, like, walking around, flashing his cash. He just, like, gives everyone money.
Just literally tips everyone. The guy who opens the door, he tips him, money. Like, $100 for opening the door. Something stupid like that.
So he's the most feared. He's got, like, 16 mob hits. And he's,
he was 16 when he started doing hits. He hasn't got 16 total. He started doing them at the age of 16.
And then he just basically just enjoys stealing stuff and hijacking things. And then he works on tip-offs.
Yep.
Yep.
Loves to steal. And then they say a bit out, like, the police assign a task force to catch him, so he makes some partners and gives them money
down.
And swag.
Yeah.
I think they actually call it swag at one point as well. It's brilliant.
I wrote that down. And then Henry gets arrested for the first time. I can't remember what it's for, but he's in court.
So he starts, this is where he meets Joe Pesci's character, Tommy. They're introduced as youngsters.
Oh, fucking Tommy.
And they're selling cigarettes out the boot of a car at a factory. Tommy spots the police coming and Henry's like, no, it's okay, it's okay. How many cartons of cigarettes do you want and all that? So they take his money and he gets arrested.
Yeah.
Gets pinched.
Yeah.
As they say.
So then when he leaves court, like, everyone's waiting for him. So basically says, like, you keep your mouth shut, basically. You don't say anything in court. You're like, that's your thing.
Jimmy's the first one to greet him, and he slips
gives him
some
load of money.
And he's
yeah.
like, what's that for? I got pinched. And he's like, you did it right. You didn't rat. You didn't give him nothing. You didn't rat on your friends.
Yeah. So they come outside the doors, and there's those people. They're like, yeah, you broke your cherry.
He popped your cherry. Yeah. Yeah, it's all a bit like a graduation.
Yeah. Like, so they're like, now he's basically in now because yeah. he's been arrested. He's not dolled anyone in. All is gravy. So then there's like a it's a freeze frame from all around him, like, hey. Then it says
Idlewild Airport.
That's it, 1963. So this is like the next big heist thing he's got planned. Jimmy's got planned. He gets tipped off by a guy that there's stuff coming in, and then he goes and tells Paulie to get people to start up a strike and stuff. And he said that's like better than robbing a city bank is robbing the airport.
I know, he's just explaining, no, this isn't the big score yet. So this is like...
But this is the start of it.
Yeah.
It's so not a big score, but
he's basically
what he's
explaining yeah. that rather than go out robbing loads of things, whenever they need money, they just rob the airport. And like you see, it's a truck driver in it. So truck driver pulls up and Henry and Tommy are waiting outside a diner.
Yeah.
The truck driver gives him a nod and they drive off in his truck. And then the truck driver goes in and he's like, oh, two guys. Just stole my truck.
So this is like the setting up, basically saying like it's stuff coming in. It's like the setup for the
and
airport.
They always take a piece. Like they take it, they sell it, they give a piece to Paulie.
Yeah, and then they keep it.
It's their favourite thing to do is rob the airport.
Yeah. So then they're back in the club. This is when you get introduced to those of people that have got like funny names. I've got, I can only write a few of them, so really quick.
Yeah, they are really quick.
Mickey Eyes.
With the big glasses, yeah.
No Nose.
No Nose, yeah.
Oh, what have I written down here? Two Times.
Yeah, two times, because he said everything twice. Yeah, I can't remember what his name is, but they're like, oh, like two times. We called him that because he said everything twice. And then it says like, and then you see him, he stands up and goes, I'm going to go get the papers, get the papers.
Yeah. That was my fave.
Yeah, just like,
I just love
just
that.
Like the quality of the nicknames. Like, this geezer's got big glasses, so he's called Eyes. This bloke says everything twice, so we call him two times.
I mean, I'm trying to think what my nickname would be.
Twat bag, probably.
Oh, that's funny. I enjoyed that bit so much. I wish it's like, I don't like Facebook, you've got like those WoW games that are really irritating. It's like, what would your, I love that, have like, what's your mob name? I would love that.
Could be quite good.
My pirate name would be Busty Beth. I've always decided that. I've always been my pirate name.
It's not very piratey, is it?
It is when you've got like a pirate.
It's more of a wench's name.
Oh, is it my bar wench name? I think it rolls into both. I'm just still laughing at two times.
Gonna go get the peepers. Get the peepers.
It was adorable. This is when we're talking about the airport.
Yeah, so they meet a guy, start talking about their first big airport robbery.
Yeah.
He's the guy, he's the security guy, he's setting up with Jimmy and that. He basically tells them they're just going to walk in and take the keys. Tommy and Henry will just walk up, get the keys off him, walk in, get some money, walk out, basically is the plan.
Yeah.
And they set that up, and then it cuts to the end of the night, they're sat around the table.
Oh,
having
that's it,
drinks.
Tommy, yeah. So Tommy's talking
Tommy's
about,
telling a story about...
It's about how he told someone to go fuck your mother, and it was at the cops and stuff. And the cops are going, saying about how he's going to talk. And he's like, I'm not going to talk. So Henry's laughing. And he's like, oh, am I funny then? And he's like, oh, you're just funny. He's like, funny how? He's like, oh, you just make
it's
me laugh.
Story.
Like,
it's
curl,
funny.
You know,
it's
you're just funny. It's just how you say it. It's just funny. He's like,
he gets all serious,
yeah.
Tommy, and starts going like,
it goes like
funny
silent.
How? Like, I'm a clown? Like, I amuse you?
It's like, how the fuck am I so funny?
Gets really angry, doesn't he? And it all goes deadly quiet.
And then it's a joke.
And then Henry's like, get the fuck out of here, Tommy. He's like, ah, nearly had him, man.
Yeah.
And you start seeing that. It's where it starts showing you the other side of Tommy. He's a bit
mental.
He's a bit of a loon.
Then, oh God, this barman, what a time to come over. So he comes over and says to Tommy that his tab's like $7,000.
Yeah.
And he just like smashes a glass in his head. Like, how dare you come over here and like make me, you know.
Make me look a barman in front of my friends.
And he's like, what the fuck are you looking at? And he just smashes up more stuff. I'm like, oh, this Tommy could be a bit of a liability.
And then Henry says, you really are a funny guy.
Yeah. Brilliant. So they are then... Oh, I think he sat in a car with Tommy looking over at a place they're going to set on fire.
So the bar that they sort of smash up a bit, Henry convinces the owner to bring Paulie in as a partner.
Yeah.
So like he can't get Tommy to pay his thing. Tommy's sort of made him afraid. So Paulie becomes his partner. And then we get another good
voiceover
bit. Yeah, where he's like, now anyone gives him any trouble with a bill, he goes to Paulie. He gets any trouble with this, he goes to Paulie. So, but now he's got to pay Paulie every week. And he get like, oh, business is bad. Fuck you, pay me. This has happened. Fuck you, pay me. And he's like, and then Paulie can run up loads of stuff on the thing. So you buy a case of booze for $200. You sell it out the back door for $100 immediately. It's all profit because no one's paying for it.
No.
So they run up loads of stuff. They buy loads of stuff on the restaurant's credit. Sell it immediately for cash. Take the cash. Don't pay the bills.
Set a fire.
Restaurant
to it,
goes
yeah.
under. And then he's like, what do you do when you can't borrow another cent or anything? You light a match. You torch your place. Claim on the insurance.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, they're sat in the car outside just as they're setting fire to it.
So Tommy's talking about going on a double date with Henry.
Yeah, Henry's not keen.
No, he doesn't really want to go. And this is when you meet his future wife.
Yep, Karen.
And I think she kind of likes the look of him, but he's not too sure. And he's like, Tommy only wants him to go on this double date. He's like, come on, Henry, I want to fuck this broad. Ah, love it.
She's prejudiced against Italians. Won't go out with an Italian on her.
No, because her mum's Jewish, yeah. Isn't she? So then it cuts to the woman talking. She's like, oh, I hated him. He was really obnoxious. He was like, you know, not hardly speaking. He was looking at his thing. He had to go because he had a meeting with Paulie, didn't he?
Yeah. So he sits through dinner, rushes through dinner. Drags her out of the car, pushes her to her house, and then they arrange to meet again, and he stands
her up. Oh, I loved her in this bit.
She makes Tommy drive her to where he is and starts having a massive go at him, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, now she's
interesting. Now
she's got a bit of backbone, and she's a bit feisty. I quite like her.
Yeah, so that's that. And then he like takes her on another date, but he takes her through like the back of a club, so it's like no queues, and he's like giving people money. And
as a table put down the front especially for him,
all that sort of stuff. And then she's like, you just gave them $20. And he's like, yeah, that's just what you do. So he's just like got all this
seems
money.
Like, what do you do for a living? He's like, oh, I'm in construction.
Yeah.
Mm.
Interesting. So then you're at the airport. I think you've got a key with some of the paperwork, which allows them into the restricted area.
And they walk in and just walk out again. The voiceover saying, we stole...
42,000.
Is it 420,000 or 42?
I've just written down 42 and then three zeros. So, as whatever way you want to read it, 42,000.
I think it's like $400,000, but they literally walk in on the voiceover saying, we stole this much money without even using a gun. They literally just walk in and take it. They give some money to Paulie to pay tribute, and then that's it. They've
done it. Then he's on holiday with Karen.
Without
and
even doing anything.
Yeah, so then he's on holiday with Karen, and he sees like a bloke that lives over the street, and he doesn't seem to like the look of him.
He's not that keen on the look of him.
He's saying about how he's a 21-year-old kid, anything was strange about him, but he's got like all this money. I think it's him talking over the top again.
I think it's Karen, isn't it?
Yeah, and then, oh my God, there's a wig shop.
Yeah,
Maurice, he was hilarious. So he needs some money. And...
he owes Jimmy some money.
Yep. And I think he's paying that. Jimmy strangles him and
with the
calls
phone.
him
with the phone wire.
And calls him a cocksucker. And then Karen calls him, says something's happened, and basically she was crying, and a guy over the street had like basically touched her up. I was like, all the people.
Yeah. Whoops.
What a dick. So he like goes over to him and like starts to hit him, and I think he basically just fucks him up.
Smashes him in the face with his gun repeatedly.
Oh God, yeah.
Like his nose has just exploded all over his face.
Yeah. I think if I was Karen, I'd be a bit like, mm.
And then, yeah, because he gives Karen the gun, and it's covered in blood. And he's like, here, hide this. And she's like, okay.
I think probably by that point, I'd be like, I don't think I'm that interested anymore. It was a bit scary. Although, this is the marriage bit. There's like a massive wedding. And everyone's like giving them envelopes of money. But you see, like, everyone's called like Peter or Paul. And there's lots of, but all the women are called Marie.
Yeah.
So that's like all the
same. They're all called Peter or Paulie. And when they're all married to girls named Marie. She's like, Jesus Christ.
But they give them all the money in these envelopes. Like, that's pretty cool. And then, oh, so they're married and she's still living at home with her mum and dad.
Yeah.
And she's like, where's your husband? Where is he? He's like, not here. And then he turns up and his, her mum is like hollering at him.
Where were you? Where have you been? Married people don't do this.
So yeah, that's
and
that.
He goes back out again with Tommy. Yes.
Tommy so like, fucking runs away. Don't blame him. Then there is, I'm trying to work out where we are now. I think, this is the thing, there's so much talking, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's actually really quite hard to do this podcast because it's just, I don't even know what the fuck. Just written down shit they've talked about. So then it's Queen's 11th of June, 1970. And they're in that bar again. And someone's getting angry about something. There's nearly a fight. They walk into the bar and there's a guy disrespecting them, which is the guy that's in the boot. We're at this bit now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, Tommy's pissing him off or saying something or other. Anyway, Tommy's a dick and saying the other guy's disrespected him.
So this guy's just got out of prison and he's what they call a made man. He's part of a crew. He's not like Jimmy and that where he just does jobs and pays his money up or anything. He's actually part of a crime family.
Right.
He's got a prominent role and he's just got out of prison, so he's celebrating. And he remembers Tommy from when Tommy was younger and did Shoe Shining. So he makes a joke about that and pisses Tommy off. They have a bit of an altercation. It calms down. Jimmy calms it down. And then he says it again and pisses Tommy off. Tommy ends up leaving. And the guy's like, he's doing this. He's acting like this and all that. And Jimmy's like, well, you did insult him a little bit. You did insult him. So Tommy leaves and they're all having drinks to calm it down. And then Tommy comes back and goes fucking mental.
Yep, kills him.
Kills the guy. Basically beats the shit out. And Robert De Niro helps.
Goes over and stamps on him, doesn't he?
Yeah, then they chuck him in the boot of the car.
Oh, so then, yeah, they do all that. And he goes back to the beginning bit again. And then they go back to his nana, like Tommy's nana's house.
It's his mum's house,
adorable.
Yeah.
Adorable. It's like a little nana.
Cooks him dinner.
Makes him food.
Gives him a knife and a shovel to borrow.
He's like, oh, yeah, can I borrow that knife? She's like, oh, yeah, of course you can. Fuck's sake. So then they go and bury him. Oh, then he talks about how, because they've killed one of the main guys, that they can get whacked at any minute now.
Yep.
So he's shitting himself a bit.
They make it clear that, like, no one can know that they've done it. Because if not, they're gone done.
Oh, so this is back at the club place. Friday nights are for girlfriends, Saturday nights are for wives. So, like, literally, I was like, oh, maybe Tommy, by looks at him, he hasn't got a girlfriend, but he has. Course. And then he walks a girlfriend home and then he leaves in the morning. And then he basically says about how that guy that they've killed is missing. So they're looking for him.
Yeah, Paulie's asking questions about it and they're like, oh no, he just disappeared. No one's seen him. Like, he left.
Yeah. Then they move the body again and oh my God.
Yeah, they have to move the body because they're going to build houses where they buried it and they're digging it out and Henry's puking.
It's like 6 months after and it's all in the boot and like, he's like, oh, God, that's disgusting. So then he sets up an apartment for his girlfriend, which they use quite a bit. So her name's Janice. I think they're basically like they're in each other's lives, aren't they? Really, like in and out. So they've been like a guard game. Oh, God, this bit's hilarious. So basically that's it, yeah. So they've got a girlfriend. He's got a separate flat. He jumps between the two places.
Yeah.
So the next bit is they're playing a card game. And Tommy's doing like his usual stuff. And there's like a younger kid there who's like in his, I don't know, like teen. Spider.
He's like the age Henry is, sort of a bit older than Henry is at the start. Yeah, and he's doing the drinks and sandwiches and stuff.
So he says something about it. And then he goes like, oh, dance, you motherfucker. And basically like starts shooting the phone and shoots him in the foot.
Because he doesn't bring Tommy a drink when he asks for one.
And then he just kills him because he's a knob.
No, he shoots him in the foot there.
Oh. Spoiler. So then he goes back and Karen tucks his keys out the window because I think she's found out about the other girl.
Yeah.
Oh, this is it. So the kid's back. He's got a bandaged foot.
Yeah.
And someone says, oh, what's the rush? Lol.
They're at another card game, aren't they?
Yeah. And then Tommy says something to him. He goes, oh, why don't you go fuck yourself, Tommy?
So they all cheer and like, hey, well done, yeah.
I wasn't too sure because Tommy's face.
Put some money down for him and they all start ribbing Tommy, like, oh, you can let him get away with that and all that. So
Tommy does not look impressed. I was a bit scared.
Tommy
and then
goes mental.
He just literally shoots the guy dead.
Just guns him down, and they're all like, what the fuck have you done that for?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, what? You all said, and he was like, no, we were joking. Like, why the fuck, like.
I thought Tommy's a fucking liability.
Yeah.
I would want to have nothing to do with him, but there we are. Then you see Karen being a proper Karen and buzzing on flat to R, saying that she knows where she is, like basically all over his girlfriend. I mean,
calling her a whore a lot. Get your own man.
Yeah. I mean, do they know about this role, wives?
They have girlfriends
on the side.
No. The wives don't know.
It's all a big shit show, really, isn't it? It's when he wakes up and she's over him with a gun.
Yep.
I would have shot him. Yeah, that's that bit. And they have a bit of a domestic and he loses his shit. And then he goes over to Janice's flat. And then I think this is when Paulie comes over, doesn't he?
Paulie comes over,
and he's like,
Jimmy,
we need to sort this out. We can't have this.
Yeah.
This is not acceptable.
It's a bit, when he says, you're not going to get divorced, we're not animale. not animals, we don't get divorced. You stay with your wife even though you hate her.
Unless she tries to kill you.
You can still come back and shag your girlfriend, that's fine, but we don't get divorced.
No, like, just go and back and live with your wife.
What?
Come on. Literally mental. So yeah, that's that. So he has to go back. 2 days later, they're in Tampa, Florida for 2 days. So basically, Paulie says, I've got a job, go to Tampa, Florida, have a bit of a break. When you come back, you move back in with your wife.
Yeah.
So he goes over and basically this guy for some money. And they take him into a zoo and like hang him over the lion fence and stuff. It's quite funny. But anyways, his sister drops him in.
Yeah, his sister happens to work for like the FBI or something like that, don't
they? Yeah, so they end up going to prison for a while. So he has to say goodbye and he's like, yeah, I'm off to jail. He gets in the car and goes, take me to jail.
Yep.
Which is cool. But it's not like a normal jail. They're like in this little room, I think, and they're like got people cooking and just living his best life, really. Got
yeah,
nice
so
food.
When he's in jail, he's in with Paulie and a couple of others.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like an apartment.
He's like, prison's not the same for us because we pay the way, and like they all live together. Yeah, they're all together. They're all having good food. They're having lobster snuck in, steak.
Yeah, all of this shit. So then Henry's got some sort of drug. I can't remember what it is. Is he cutting it? Was it a powder? But he starts selling it in prison.
Yeah, he just starts selling drugs. I think a lot of it's cocaine. But
yeah. So Karen comes in to visit and she sees Janice's name on the list.
Yeah.
So then she like, basically, he's got, because they've got two girls by this point, haven't they? So he's sat there with his youngest kids on his lap. And she's like, oh, you know, I'm sneaking this shit in for you. And she's coming in. And she's like chucking, I think it's like bread, isn't
bread,
it?
Bread, meat, and then drugs.
Some of their drugs. And then he like, all the little girls crying and stuff. And it's all a bit mental.
She's complaining that like no one, like, because Paulie's got out by this point. She's like, no one's talking to me, no one visits me, we've got no money and all that. And he's like, that's what happens when you're in prison, we're on our own. Like, that's why I've selling the drugs and that, to have money.
So I think this after this, he gets out and Paulie's like, just be careful what you get involved with now.
Stay away from the junk.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm not, he's like, Paulie's like, I'm not stupid, I don't care what you did in there, that's different. Now you're out.
Yeah.
Stay away from it. And he tells him about some guy.
Watch out for Jimmy, and Tommy is a cowboy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Don't let them mix you up anything. And he tells him about another boss who, like, literally, what someone who worked for him was selling drugs and all that. He wasn't actually involved in it, but because they were close enough to be linked, he's going to die in prison.
Yeah.
Paul is like, that's not happening to me.
No.
Like, leave it alone.
So, basically, he ignores that and he starts sneaking,
selling coke
stuff
everywhere.
Yeah. I think he uses his babysitter and all sorts.
His babysitter transports it on a plane.
Yeah. All sorts of shit going
sets on. Up, and he sets up one of Janice's friends in her own apartment to cut all the drugs.
Who is a fucking mess, isn't she?
She's a massive cokehead.
So, they're at Maury's flat talking about, with Jimmy, I think. I don't even know what that's about. That's about, I don't know if that's something to do with the big heist thing.
Yeah, Lufthansa or something.
Yeah.
It's called the Lufthansa. Basically, it's another big steal. And it's like money that comes So Maury helps sets it up with Jimmy, and he gets a team together. Henry's not part of this.
No, robbery, he's not, because he's in the shower and he screams because he's heard about the heist.
Yeah, the Lufthansa heist. So they steal like $4 million or something like that.
Yeah. And I think there's quite a lot, a big team of people. They go through the team of people.
Yeah, there's about five or six involved in it. Maury helped set it up, and Jimmy gets all the money. And then they go to celebrate, don't they, at the bar.
Yeah. And someone turns up and he's bought his wife like a, they've got a big car and he's
big
like...
Big pink Cadillac.
Yeah, and he's like, what are you doing?
I told you not to spend any money. Like, don't draw attention to us. Take it back. Makes him take the car back.
Sends him away. Yeah, someone turns up a fur coat and he's like, no, you can't.
No, get out. Take it back. Yeah. Like, he gets super paranoid straight away.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not surprised. I think that's quite sensible. So then Maury is like demanding his money.
Yeah.
I'm like, Maury, mate, you best chill out.
Yeah,
because
just don't.
Don't badger people for this shit, because you're going to get in trouble. And I think he gives... Jimmy gives Henry some money, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. And he goes out and buys a massive Christmas tree and
all of this
stuff. But he keeps it all in his house and Jimmy never sees it.
No. So, yeah, it's $6 million cash. And then, so Stax is Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson is Stax, the getaway driver, yeah.
He basically effed up. Because he fell asleep.
Yeah, so he was meant to destroy the getaway vehicle, but he goes to see his girlfriend, gets high, falls asleep, and then the police have found the vehicle.
Yeah. So he goes, basically, goes around to see him.
Tommy goes around to see him.
And basically shoots him in the head, like, execution style-y.
Yeah.
Whacks
him.
Yeah.
He's out.
And he has, like, a world dramatic death. Like, he just, like, whoa.
Blood everywhere. He just flops over, but he dramatically flops over.
It's quite hilarious. And then I think they get her coffee to go. So, yeah, they explain then why he got killed, because he basically
fucked it up.
Or they tracked his fingerprints as well.
Yeah, the cops were coming for him, so they just kill him.
Yeah. So, Tommy was going, where are we now? Tommy's gone to kill someone else, I suppose. Kill him at a card table. Oh, no. This is when Tommy gets killed.
Yeah, so...
Sorry. This is really hard work. I don't remember.
Henry starts freaking out about, like, Stax being killed, and he goes to the bar to see Jimmy, and they're, like, celebrating, and that's when they tell him Tommy's going to be a made man.
Yeah.
Tommy's going to be made. And then, before that, Jimmy starts killing more people.
He goes. He kills all the team, doesn't he?
Basically, kills everyone involved in the job.
Yeah,
kills everyone involved in the heist, and it ends with him like he's on the verge of killing Maury.
Yeah,
he's about to kill Maury. Like planning for it with Henry. They're playing cards, and he says to Henry, "Like, oh, just don't worry about it. Forget it. They're having a real good time."
And then Tommy will kill him at the card table, is what they say. Yeah,
yeah. They go. The night ends. Tommy, Jimmy, Maury and someone else get into a car. Tommy sits behind Maury and then stabs him in the back of the head as soon as the engine starts. So they go off and clear off, get rid of his body.
Because basically the guy with the new car, you find him dead with his new wife.
He's dead with his wife in the car, yeah. Another guy ends up in the back of a meat freezer. And this is when Henry goes to see him and asks and says about stuff and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, they're going to make Tommy. He's going to be a made man.
Yeah.
And then Henry ends up meeting Jimmy at a diner, and they're waiting for a phone call to tell him Tommy's been made, and then it cuts to Tommy being taken to the whatever the ceremony is.
To be a good fellow, you have to be 100% and they trace your family back to the good country.
Henry's explaining Tim and Jimmy could never be a made man, because although Henry's mother's from Sicily, his dad's Irish, Jimmy's from Irish thing. To be a made man, they have to trace all of your family back to Italy.
Yeah.
But the voiceover saying, like, is one of our own is going to be a member of the exclusive club.
Yeah.
So we'll go from working for Paulie to working for Tommy.
Yeah.
And obviously Tommy's our friend. We've been doing stuff with him for a long time. So we'll be well looked after by him.
So this is when, I've written down, Tommy's been made, then Tommy was shot, and then Jimmy cries. He's fucking wagged him.
They lead Tommy into a room and shoot him in the back of the head.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy calls up from a payphone to check that how it's gone. And they're like, no, he's gone. What do you mean? He's like, well, and it's revenge for the made man that he killed. He killed a made man without being authorised to, so now he gets killed. And Henry says in the voiceover, like, it's real, what is it, real something stuff or anything between the Italians. It's their rules.
Yeah.
He broke the rules. He gets
because
killed.
Because he got shot in the face, he couldn't have an open coffin.
Yeah, they made sure to shoot him in the face so he couldn't have an open coffin at the funeral.
Which is like big thing.
Yeah.
Because they all have open...
That's how they punish him for breaking the rules, basically.
So then it's 1980 on 11th of May at 6:55. Now, Henry is just full on druggy now, isn't he?
Full on cokehead now, yeah.
He's like doing a line of coke and he's like absolutely manic. And you can see he has to go to pick up some guns, or no, deliver some guns, and then pick up his brother from the airport. But you see his helicopter in the sky.
Yep.
So he takes the guns to someone who says they're shit. I can't remember who it was now. Was it Paulie? He
takes the guns to Jimmy. Jimmy's got some silencers. And he said right away, I knew he wouldn't want them.
Yeah.
Wasting my time. But I know I could sell them to the people I'm selling the drugs to. So
he goes there. And he knew he could make his money back. And it's 8:45 a.m. He goes to pick up his brother. And then the doctor's like, are you all right? Like, you look... Like, I'm fine. So the doctor had to check him over. Gave him some Valium. So he drops his brother off. And then goes to get Karen. He sees the helicopter again. He's like, I think this helicopter's following me.
Yep.
And at the same time, that he's trying to make this, like, dinner. So 11:30, they're making his dinner. And he's making his marinara. And he's like... Don't let it boil. Don't do this.
Tell his brother, watch the sauce.
Yeah.
Stir the sauce.
So he said he was going to be home for an hour and he had to get the guns back out again. So you see him checking and there's no helicopter. So they drive to Karen's mum's house. Then at 12:30, he's on the phone. I can't remember who he's talking to. So again, I think he's being followed. But he basically says... to the babysitter, don't use
yeah, calls the babysitter, tells him about the plan, like, make the call to arrange the meet, and he's like, make sure you leave the house, go to a payphone to make the call, make sure you do it from a payphone.
Yeah.
Okay, she literally hangs up the phone, calls the people about the drug deal from the house phone, and then he's like, now they'll know the flight number, the time.
Yeah.
You know, they know everything now.
So he had to go get the packages that have been made ready for Sandy. Sandy is just... Well,
coked out of her head as well.
She's really angry because he's like just literally popping in there, getting the stuff and then going. So then I think he has to like sort her out.
Tell her he loves her and stuff. And then he's moaning at her for not using the dishwasher.
Yeah.
She's like, I hate doing the dishes. He's like, but you've got cocaine fucking everywhere. Like if anyone comes in, there's coke everywhere. Use the fucking dishwasher.
So then it's 10:45 p.m. They're all eating. They're having dinner at 10:45.
I know. How?
Oh, the only time I ever eat that, and even then, it'd be a kebab, because I'm drunk. I'm going to be eating like a full-on dinner. I'm
never awake at 10:45, no.
So he's then taking the babysitter to the airport, but she's like, oh, the nanny. It's a nanny, not a babysitter.
Yeah,
isn't it? She's like, oh, I need my special hat.
My lucky hat. I need to go and get my lucky hat.
Fucking hell. So they leave the house and then the cops around the car.
Yep. Loads Busted. Of them everywhere.
So then you see Karen running off with the drugs and trying to flush them down the toilet.
Yep.
Because they're going to be searching the place. And it comes up with the aftermath. So the helicopter, said the narcs had like tapped their home under surveillance.
The helicopter was following him. The phones were tapped.
Yeah, and they're under surveillance for ages. Like, all the drug stuff was found. Yeah. He got 25 years.
You see everyone getting arrested, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely everybody.
Yep.
Karen got him bail, I think, and then Paulie was, like, pissed off.
Yes, Karen gets him bail and he comes home to try and sell the drugs as well.
Yeah,
he
goes, and he's pissed off.
He hides the drugs in a kitchen cabinet.
I know!
Like, and then he comes back and he's trying to find them. He's like, because that's all the money we're going to have. When I sell them, she's like, I'll flush it down the toilet. He's like, why did you do that? That was all our money. She was like, well, the police would have found it. No, they'd never have found it. Mate, you put it in a kitchen cupboard. Like, it wasn't well hidden. It was literally on top of some plates.
Oh, God.
But yeah, he goes to see Paulie, and Paulie, like, gives him, what, a couple of $1,000?
Yeah.
And then he tells him, like, I'm done with you.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to turn my back on you. Get away from me.
We'll just have nothing to do anymore. Well, he's saying that she flushed 60 grand's worth of stuff.
Yep.
Well, so, yeah, he's nothing more to do with him. He's done. So, basically, he gave him
$3,000?
I thought, what, $32,000 for a lifetime?
No, $3,200, I think he gives him.
Oh. So, yeah, for everything he's done.
For his whole life, yeah. Working for him, he gets $3,000.
And that's it. Well, he shouldn't have been a knob, should he, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so Karen goes to see Jimmy, doesn't she?
Yep.
About something. I can't remember what it is now, but it's really scary because he tells her to walk down to a shop.
Yeah, he's to help basically herself, he's asking her about what's going on, and is Henry said anything? Do you know what questions they're asking?
Yeah.
She tells him, he tells her he's got some dresses down in a shop down the road. She walks down there and there's loads of dodgy looking men there, and she's convinced he's gonna try and have her killed.
Yeah, so she runs away. He's like,
freaks out, runs away, yeah. And then Henry goes to meet Jimmy, I think, in a diner.
Yeah.
Jimmy calls him to meet him.
And he's in a crowded place, and but it's like Jimmy was really jumpy. And he's basically trying to find out who's gonna rat him out to save himself, and Jimmy asked Henry, like, what are you gonna do? So basically he wants him to go to Florida, but he knew that he'd never come back
alive.
Yeah,
so he says to him about, like, he's asking loads of questions, and then he says, ask him to go down to Florida to do a hit on somebody. And he's like,
yeah.
Jimmy had never asked me to whack anyone before. And he's
that's
like,
it.
And then I knew if I went to Florida, I wasn't coming back alive.
Yeah.
And that makes up his mind what he's going to do next.
So he goes to the police and ends up putting... Oh, so Karen really annoyed me in this bit.
Yep.
I was like, love, come on.
So he offers to rat everyone out to the FBI.
Yeah, so the FBI put him
being
in...
spoken about witness protection.
Yeah, and she's just like, so what, I can't even go see my parents? No.
Nope.
And he's like, oh, like, I love the guy. Like, what he said to her was really funny. And he's
the
like,
FBI
oh,
agent, God. He's brilliant.
Did you take him, like, no shit from her, is he? I can't remember what he said now.
So she says something about, you just need Henry, you don't need me, do you? And he's like, quite frankly, I don't give a shit whether you go or not. Like,
yeah.
He's what I need. He's the witness. If you go in, makes him a better witness, great. If it don't, I don't care.
No.
And then she says something. She's like, I'm nothing to do with it. And he's like, I've heard you on the phone talking about cocaine. Like, you are something to do with it. Don't fucking bullshit me, love.
He literally takes no shit. I was looking at it, she's like, I mean, I can't see my parents. I'm like, you are going to be killed. The thing is, what really pissed me off about that bit was, like, she literally saw firsthand Jimmy going, yeah, go on, help yourself with some dresses.
Yeah.
He's looking at her going, go on, go in there.
Yeah.
Where are
and
you
even
going?
The FBI agent says, like, don't go. I'm not bothered, but they won't be able to get anywhere near him. He'll be in witness protection. He'll have a different name. No one will know him. They will be able to get to you.
Yeah.
You won't know where he is. They won't believe you, and you'll be fucking dead.
Yeah.
And after they've killed you, they'll kill your kids, and they'll kill your parents trying to find him, and they won't be able to. So... it's either you and your kids go with him or you're all fucking dead.
Like, I get it, it's shit, but
yeah,
you married him.
Don't be massive drug dealers.
Yeah, and you married him. Jesus. So she could have left ages ago.
Yeah.
I would have been cool when I found out about Janice. Actually, when he beat the shit out of the guy with his gun, I would have been like, yeah, fuck this noise.
Yeah, this is weird.
So he basically... There is a bit where he stands in the box and they're both looking at him, aren't they?
Yeah, he has to point out Paulie and Jimmy in court.
Oh, fog.
And they are fuming.
Really, really angry. So, yeah, so he leaves his... He says how he misses the life, like, and how he's got no action, no decent food, and he's just an average nobody. And that's it.
Yep.
I was like, yeah.
Gives you a little update on everyone's prison
sentence.
So,
yeah, Henry was in witness protection from 1987. Then he didn't get arrested for drugs again in 19...
Yeah. While he was in witness protection, he got arrested a few times and ended up getting kicked out of witness protection.
Yeah, because he was just being a knob.
Because he was still committing crime.
But in 1989, Karen and Henry separated after 25 years.
Yeah.
25 years! Fuck a duck. I just honestly, how she
managed to, like, disappear as well.
Yeah.
Like, because obviously once she left him, she's not part of witness protection no more, but she was...
She just went. Paulie died in prison in 1988 at the age of 73. And so this is saying currently, well, this was back in
91. Yeah.
So it says Jimmy was currently serving 20 years to life for murder, and he is eligible for parole in 2004. 2004 at 78 years old. I forgot to look up, actually, if he is out.
No, he died in prison.
He died in prison?
Yeah.
He died before
he got out. I think it was like 98 or something. I'd have to double check. But yeah, he died before he got him out of prison. I'll double check quick while you carry on.
Yeah. So contrary to how this has probably come across, because we watched this, a week ago?
Yeah.
I actually really, really enjoyed it.
1996,
he died. 96, he died.
Yep. So he only managed to... I wonder if he would have made
parole, though.
Eh?
I wonder if he would have ever made parole, because they're quite dangerous, aren't they?
It says had he lived, he would have been eligible for parole on March 11th, 2004. He died of cancer in prison.
Oh. Scary men, though. Like, it's scary.
Yeah.
And it's kind of strange that actually happens for reals.
Yeah, so Henry Hill was the name of the guy. Like, that's his real name.
Yeah.
Jimmy Conway is really called James Burke. And Paulie was, I think he had a different, Paul Servino or something like that was his real name.
Yeah, I give it a 4 out of 5.
Nice.
I don't think I, in all honesty, I would quite like to watch it again because I did really enjoy it and not have to try and write notes.
Yeah.
That one was really hard. Because honestly, when we said, we're going to try and do it, and then we couldn't because of your shift change, you're like, I have to watch it again before we do the podcast. Like, nah, I remember it because I actually can kind of see it in my head still. Yeah, I did really enjoy it.
The problem you've got with writing notes is that you write notes on the voiceover sometimes and not
on what's on actually the scene. Happening. Yeah.
So you get too focused on one or the other when it's a better experience watching it and having them both at the same time.
Honestly, guys,
watch it
because it is really, really good. And it's really funny. Good. I forgot to mention these talking, I don't know if it's, I don't want to say stereotypical because it's probably not, but the way Gavin goes, what's this guy talking to me about? He's talking to me about this? What's he talking about? And it's just so funny how they say things. They talk really quickly. The nickname bit, I mean, honestly, is worth watching.
Yeah, there's some funny bits in it. Definitely.
So I wrote down violent but gripping.
Nice.
I liked it because it's got a really good storyline. It's really easy to follow.
Yeah.
Like I said, it doesn't sound like it come across it with this podcast with me umming and ahhing my whole way through it, but it really is easy to follow.
Yeah, because you get
the gist of it quite quickly.
Rather than having entire scenes of like exposition, the voiceover just does the setting for you.
Yeah, exactly.
The voiceover will either explain something or set the scene and then they just go. And it doesn't get bogged down in characters talking about what they do and blah, blah, blah. The voiceover just ties it all
seamlessly
up.
It's really, really good. I love that it's based on a true story. I also like that it didn't kind of glamorize mob life. It was just really like
the violence
really
is quite
raw,
realistic
and and like it was pretty raw and it's what you would imagine. It's just like everyday
when they
life
when they kill people and like you're saying there about execution style, when they say they whack somebody, like that's when you say they whacked him. That's what you think. They just literally put a gun to his head and shot him.
Yeah.
There was nothing. There wasn't like, he wasn't tied up. He wasn't tortured.
No.
They literally walk up to him and shoot them.
And it's like, literally, you see like Henry's fear in some bits. They say like, I could be whacked. And he's like, literally living at that point after they killed that bloke, or Tommy killed that bloke in the bar, they're literally living in fear of dying.
And then you've got people like Jimmy and Tommy in it. Like when he says, when Jimmy was whacking people for mob bosses when he was 16, and he's like, and he says in the voiceover, hits don't bother Jimmy because it's part of the business.
Yeah.
And you see it in Jimmy every time when people are getting killed. There's no
expression,
thing in his face.
No.
Like anyone who's done it, that's business. It's work. Like they say at the beginning, he tries not to kill anyone if he doesn't have to, because he just likes stealing stuff and he likes thing, but he won't think twice.
But again, like, it's not like they've got, although they've got a big house, you don't see a lot of their houses. Like, it doesn't glamorise it. It's not like they've got great big cars, they've got this. You see them working.
Yeah, and you
it's not like...
You literally see them go out and take things because they've run out of money. Like, that's it, all the money's gone. Now we've got to do something.
So it's not like, not glamorised in any way.
Yeah.
It feels quite real.
Jimmy starts off quite glamorous, doesn't he? And then you see him go downhill through the film and stuff. And you see that with all of them, like... They do a big job, it's quite glamorous, and then time passes and
they're starving.
They're starting to run out of money and stuff, and it's not quite so glamorous, and they all sort of start turning on each other a bit.
No, it's brilliant. I really enjoyed it. So I think that's definitely another one to watch again.
Excellent.
Definitely made me rethink my thoughts on mob films. I think I could probably give Godfather a go now.
There's Godfather, and there's also a Denzel Washington mob film that I want you to watch.
Is there?
Yeah.
What's
Denzel
that one?
Washington. Russell Crowe is in it.
What?
Idris Elba's in it. It's called
Idris Elba.
Cuba Gooding Jr.'s in it. It's called American Gangster.
Ooh.
It's also a true story.
Oh, mm-hmm. I do like him true. I like him true.
I like him true.
Oh, Idris Elba, though. Hello. Yes, queen. Right. Well, so what's next then? If we're going to manage it.
Next one, we're going to go for something quite simple.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a lot of detail in the next podcast because the film, we're going to go for one of my favourite films. And by favourite, I mean one of those films that I love to watch because it's so awful.
Oh, God. It's not like that bug film, is
that
it?
It's brilliant. Oh, Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
No, because you've already seen it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot the whole point of this podcast.
Yes. But think along the lines of Starship Troopers, only much, much worse.
Oh, what?
We're going to watch a horror classic.
Okay.
We're going to watch Critters.
Oh,
which is the one I've pre-warned you about, which is about space hedgehogs that eat and run and kill people.
Do you know what? I'm quite excited. It's a no-brainer.
It is. No, it's absolutely... The people in it have got no brains, let alone needing brains to watch it. There is pretty much no plot apart from killer hedgehogs from space that eat lots of things and like to bite people.
Awesome.
And that is it.
I like the sound of that. I think we need an easy one with what's going on. We need something that's going to be quite easy.
Exactly.
Good plan. Good plan, babe. Oh, genius. Well, I'm really sorry. I feel like the last three podcasts, I've just been umming and ahhing my way through it. Life and COVID life has been tough, but thank you for sticking with us. I really hope you've enjoyed this one. Honestly, please watch this film. Please watch it, because honestly, I've done it no justice. It was really, really,
it's brilliant.
Really good. So yeah, thank you for listening. I'm really looking forward to watching the next film. It could be good. As always, stay safe and say ciao for now.
Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.